And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8 in your Bibles. And we're also going to put it up there on the screen. Carrie's going to help me today to do that. I apologize, I don't have my normal PowerPoint because my computer broke down while we were gone on a vacation, and I had it repaired, but I still haven't got it totally fixed yet, so I've got to work on that this week. And just want to thank again, we were gone the last two Sundays. We tried to take off two Sundays in a row in the summer. I appreciate the church allowing me to do that. I thank Dusty and Mark for bringing the messages. Didn't they bring some good messages those two Sundays? Yep, Dusty did one on security, and I appreciate what they had to meet. Some of the guys met here last night about church security. I want to say this publicly, just because the day and time that we're living in, even as a small rural church in western Oklahoma, with us living here on the highway, we have security measures in place. And so we have guys that are prepared for that in case that was to happen. God forbid that to ever happen. But I just want to put all of our church members at ease, because we take, during the service, we have guys checking on the back. We actually lock that door at the back. We actually lock the front door as well. And we have guys going back there and checking on the kids and stuff as well. So I appreciate Dusty heading that up, and I appreciate all the guys that are a part of that, because we need that around here. Amen. I mean, I wish I could say we didn't, but we do, and we need to be wise. The Bible says, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, but we need to be wise and prepared if something was to ever happen. So we are, and I appreciate Dusty heading that up. So I hope that brings you security and peace when you worship the Lord here. And then Mark brought a great message about choices. And both of these messages kind of come into today with this message that I'm going to bring about. Romans chapter 8, the great 8, is the title of this message. But I just kind of tell you what, you know, and I appreciate the church's prayers. While we were gone on vacation on Thursday night, it was Thursday night, but my mom called me Friday morning. My granddad passed away at the Elk City Hospital. And so when we got back, we had a funeral for my granddad on Tuesday. And then I also had a wedding that I did on Friday for Jesse and Wyatt Eaton. So it's been a wild week after getting back from vacation. You know, you need a vacation after. I need another vacation now. That's what I feel like. But I appreciate Mark and Dusty filling in. And this message today is, we're going to look at the whole chapter of Romans chapter 8. It's going to be kind of a different message than I normally bring, because I'm going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to let the Word do the work. Amen. But this is the gospel. I'll just tell you what the gospel is. We saw the gospel today, what Wyatt did, following the Lord in water baptism. And the gospel is actually, there's actually four parts to the gospel. And some people leave off the fourth. And I just want to make mention what the four parts of the gospel are. Is the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. Those are the four parts of the gospel. And that's what was represented here today with Wyatt following the Lord. The reason why Romans 8 is a special chapter, I mean, all of God's Word is awesome and special, but the reason why Romans 8 is special to me is I had two grandmothers. How many of you are thankful for praying grandmas? Boy, I had some on both sides of the family. Thank God for that, or I wouldn't be here today. But I had a Grandma Myrtle, which would have been my granddad's mother. She lived here in that little white house up across from the school, west of the school. That was her home. I think Betsy James lives there now. And my Grandma Myrtle, I would stay with her after ball games and stuff. Back in that day, you know, parents are going everywhere today. Back in that day, we lived 15 miles out of town. Mom would tell me, when you get back from the ball game, baseball or basketball or whatever, you're going to stay with Grandma because you got school the next day. I'm not coming to get you 15 miles. Thanks, Mom. You know, today, everybody today's thanks, Mom. Well, that was cool with me. I was like, cool, I get to stay in town, you know, and hang out, be with some friends and hang out with Grandma. She's cool. But Grandma Myrtle wrote in my Bible, Romans 8:28. And that scripture has been so precious to me over the years. And some of you, if you've been in church any length of time, know that by heart. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And that scripture has carried me through a lot in life, Romans 8:28. And she'd got me a little Bible when I graduated from high school, and she had tucked that in there, that one scripture. And she was a believer and a sweet little Christian woman. First Baptist Church is where she went to, and Mom said that she would drive around this big old car like a boat, and pick up all the other old ladies and go to church here in town. And then I have on my dad's side of the family is my grandma Lita Harrell, and she was praying and one day and she was basically the lone ranger in our family on that side of the family. I mean, when we got together, it was my grandma that would pray and ask the blessing on the food and all those kind of things. And can y'all hear me okay? Okay. And anyway, so grandma she was carrying the load of the whole family. And one day she just got weary with it. And she told me this. She said, I prayed and I said, Lord, please bring somebody else in this family. I don't care who it is at this point. Bring somebody else in this family that's going to, you know, help carry the spiritual load of the family. And she said right after that she had prayed, I didn't know that she'd prayed that prayer, but it was soon after that. It was in September of 93 when I got saved. And so she was rejoicing about that. And I'll never forget this about my grandma. She's in an assisted living center right now. But y'all remember, I think it's Roma's now or some Italian place. There used to be the Kettle Restaurant. Well, outside the Kettle Restaurant one night after a church service, Grandma said, let's go out and eat after church. I think it was a Sunday night. We went out and ate there at the Kettle. And we go outside, and Grandma goes, she goes, Mark, I just feel like I need to lay hands on you and pray for you. And this is before I was ever even being called in the ministry or whatever. And my grandma laid hands on me. How many of you ever had grandmas lay hands on you? She laid hands on me, and I'm telling you what, the Spirit of God showed up, and I just began to, I mean, it was just a simple little prayer, but I just began, I mean, God's Spirit was so strong, I just began to weep and cry. And I was like, Grandma, what are you doing to me? You know, Grandma, what's going on? And she goes, I'm just releasing everything I've been carrying for years into you. And I told her thanks, and I left that moment. And just, you know, how you have those God moments. That was a special God moment that I had with Grandma Lita. And then after that is when I started feeling the call into ministry and just and everything. And I was like, and I'll never forget the first time. I can say this because she's in the back in nursery, my wife, Jada. I said, honey, I feel like God's calling me to preach. And she looked at me and she goes, are you serious? Like, are you for sure? And I was like, yeah, honey, I'm feeling something really strong. I can't shake it. And also my grandma, Lita, during that time, she told me to read Romans chapter 8. And I'll never forget this. This is why this chapter is so special to me. Is we were at that time in Elk City, we were living in a mobile home where, if you remember, the layout of this mobile home was the master bedroom had that big bathroom with the garden tub in it, right? And I was sitting on the garden tub because I was already ready for church. We were going to church that Sunday. We were just newly married. We were like 23, been married for a year. And I was up, ready to go to church. She's getting ready. You know how the guys are waiting on the ladies. And she's standing in front of the mirror putting her makeup on. And I said, you know, Grandma told me to read Romans chapter 8. And I said, so I'm going to start reading Romans chapter 8 while you're still getting ready. And she said, okay. And so I started reading Romans chapter 8, and I don't know where I got to, but as I was reading it, it just hit me how much God loves me. And I began to weep and cry, and Jada came over and sat down by me, and we both wept and cried and just thanking God for our salvation. And here's my prayer, is that when we look at Romans 8 today, and I'm going to give you, there's going to be actually 4 points, but when we read Romans chapter 8 today, I pray that you'll realize that you and I had absolutely nothing to do with it. If it wouldn't have been for God's Spirit wooing me, just like he did Wyatt, I'd be lost as a goose today, okay? Thank God for that Spirit. And I can look around here, and I know most of you in here, and I can remember when God wooed you and you responded to that. But here's the other thing I love about Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is known as the chapter of great security. Talking about the security of a believer. I believe in the security of a believer. I believe in the security of God's love. Mark picked out the perfect songs today. No power of hell, no scheme of man can pluck me from his hand. I mean, when you know Jesus, if you really know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are secure. All right? And so the theme of this whole service today is the security of the child of God through the ministry of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And so my four points are this, and I'm going to go ahead and give them to you up front. We are pardoned, we are adopted, we are living in hope, and we are confident that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. I'm going to say that again. We are pardoned, we are adopted, we are living in hope, and we are confident that we are more than conquerors. Wyatt responded to that wooing of the Holy Spirit. He had nothing to do with it other than he felt the Holy Spirit wooing him, and he responded to it. And he's saved today, and he is secure. At the age of 9, he is secure. And I've had spiritual debates with people about this because they think that we can lose our salvation. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture that you can lose your salvation. I just don't see it. Now can we? Mark preached a great message. Can we screw things up? Oh yeah, because God gave us free will and choice. We can, but I can't. And God said I can. You know, I'm not the judge. Now I can inspect fruit, but sometimes you can't even tell with that because it may be they have bad fruit because of some bad choices they made. Amen. So, bottom line, here's the deal. We're not judge and jury here today. Look at somebody and say, you're not the judge or the jury. Thank God for that, all right? But we can make some bad choices and end up in bad situations and have to pay the price for some of those bad choices. But it doesn't mean that we're not saved. Thank God. There was somebody in our church years ago that Dusty and I, they're not here today, so don't be looking around, okay? But years ago that Dusty and I were praying about, and it was a guy, and we loved him dearly, but he just kept making the wrong choices, and to the point where, I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, it was grieving me because I began to even question his salvation, right? When you see somebody just constantly making the wrong choices, you start questioning their salvation. And I knew better, but I was getting that religious hat on and questioning salvation. And Dusty brought me back in one day, and I wish he was here to hear this. You'll have to play this for him, Betty. But he's back there being security man. Dusty told me, he said, Mark, he goes, he's saved. He's saved. But right now he's making some bonehead choices and some dumb choices. And he said, and I was praying about it the other day, and God showed me something, said his life was going to take turns like this and like this because of wrong choices that he just keeps making, but he's going to make it in the end. But we just need to pray that he starts making the right choices. But he's secure in his salvation. He's okay. And I just felt like I needed to share that today for you guys because so many people walk around, you know, and think, I'm going to go ahead and say this, because I had a family member one time I've had two family members that passed away in car accidents because they, from drunk driving, okay? And whenever, if you've ever done a service when that's happened, there's always people questioning that last thing they did, that last choice they made, you know. And here's the deal. Both of the family members that I have, they knew Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They just made a bad choice. But they're in heaven, and I'm going to see them again. And I know there's people that will argue with me all day long over that. And here's what I say to them. Then the love of God can't keep us, if that's true. But the love of God is strong, and the love of God can keep us. And that's what we're going to see here in Romans chapter 8. All right, everybody ready to read Romans 8 now? Amen. All right, Romans 8 says there's, and here in just a second I'm going to do something. Let me just go ahead and do it now, and then I'll talk about it here in a little bit. Luke and Brooke are going to help me, and I'm going to kind of half these, and I hope I have enough. We may have to go to the office and get more today. But I'm going to give you a Post-it note. How many of you use Post-it notes? All right, yeah, notes on your phone. Well, I'm going to give you an actual post-it note because this goes with this message. Just give them one. And you may come up with more than one, but as we read this, there's going to be a scripture that jumps out at you in Romans 8. And I want you to write it down, okay? I want you to, you may wait until we read all 39 verses, but there's going to be a scripture that the Holy Spirit's going to highlight and say, this is for you for right now, for the season that you're in right now, or for where you're at in your walk. And I just want you to write it down to remember it, and you can put this on your refrigerator, you can put it in your vehicle, or wherever you want it, but they're going to pass you out one, and we're going to go ahead, and I was going to wait till the very end, but I thought, no, I need to do that now, so that you can be ready when the Holy Spirit highlights that one scripture for you. The Holy Spirit's going to highlight that one scripture for you today, out of Romans 8, verses 1 through 39, and I just want you to jot it down, and he may highlight more than one, so you can sure jot down more than one. It's always neat how God speaks to people through his word, because I'll have people come up to me and say, well, Pastor Martin, don't you remember when you said this? I'm like, I never said that, but the Holy Spirit did to them, and they heard it. That's the power of God's word. All right, I'm going to start reading Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and Carrie's going to put them up there on the screen, and I'm reading now the New King James Version. It says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, or Daddy, Daddy. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are that called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God and also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or some dumb choices I've made in life? Nothing, okay? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everybody said, amen. That is, man, I'm telling you, we just stop right there and say amen and go home. That is powerful. But I want to point out four things out of this Romans chapter 8, and I call this the Great Eight. The first thing is found in the first 11 verses that we just read. We are pardoned in Christ, or we are forgiven in Christ. That's the only way that we're forgiven is in Christ. Not by our good deeds, not by us earning it. There's nothing that you and I have done to deserve it. We are pardoned in Christ. We are forgiven. And in verse 1, this is the... It's Romans 8, verses 1 through 11, and I'm not going to read all of it again, okay? But we are pardoned in Christ is the first 11 verses. And the one verse that I'm going to point out, and the Holy Spirit may have pointed out something else to you in that first 11. You can write that down. But here's the one I'm going to highlight. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. There's no condemnation. When the enemy brings condemnation and guilt and all those kind of things, that's where you say no. No, there is none. There is no condemnation. The enemy, you're not going to use that against me. You're not going to bring up my past and beat me over the head with it. And the Apostle Paul does this in strong language so that we sense that he is saying there is not the slightest possibility of condemnation. There is none. Look at somebody and say there is zero. Paul's explanation of the work of Christ and the Spirit points to the way God has accomplished this. We live in Christ, and the Holy Spirit lives in us. There is no condemnation. I'm telling you guys, there are so many people that are beat up. I used to be beat up all the time by condemnation, beating myself up. Mark and I have talked about this a lot. Just beating myself up because I didn't do this right, I didn't do that right, what I did in the past, what I did in the present, while I'm still saved. I cannot believe I did that. You know, the choices that I've been making and what the Holy Spirit was kept getting, and I'm finally starting to get it. I don't got it fully, but Mark, there is no condemnation. There's no condemnation when you're in Christ Jesus. The second thing is found in verses 12 through 17. And this is where it talks about how we are adopted in Christ. And this is where Paul speaks about our adoption by God. And whereas the first section where it talks about our standing before God, that we're, as we stand before God, we're forgiven, this section speaks of our identity as children of God, that you're adopted as a son or a daughter. And adopted children of God benefit from, and that verse 15 talks about freedom from fear. We don't have to have any fear. Talks about intimacy with the Father. In verse 15, God wants a relationship with us, not about religion, it's about a relationship. Verse 16 talks about he wants us to have that blessed assurance of belonging, that we don't have an orphan spirit, that we know that God is our Father. And then he talks about in verse 17 our inheritance with Christ. And he says something on this last point about our inheritance with Christ. He says that... that we're co-heirs with the heir, which is Jesus. We're co-heirs, and a co-heir possesses everything that the other possesses. You're co-heirs with Christ, and so you possess everything that he has. No fear, intimacy with the Father, assurance of belonging as a child of God, and you have that inheritance with Christ, and you've got to know that. You've got to get it from your head down into your heart to know that. Amen? Because a lot of people walk around that are saved and they don't know that. They don't know that. They let the enemy beat them up with condemnation and guilt and making them think you're not a child of God. I've had people come to me and talk to me that's been in church their whole life, and they feel like they got to get saved every Sunday because they don't feel like a child of God. And I'm like, well, then the enemy's got you snowballed, because God don't want you living like that. God wants you living with your head held high, knowing that you're a child of God and that you're forgiven. All right, here's the third thing is found in verses 18 through 27. And this is where the Apostle Paul talks about we are living in hope in Christ. And I'm going to read you something out of something that John Maxwell, from his book that said from Think on These Things. It was a book called Think on These Things, John Maxwell, about hope. It says, what does hope do for mankind? Hope shines brightest when the hour is darkest. Hope motivates when discouragement comes. Hope energizes when the body is tired. Hope sweetens while bitterness bites. Hope sings when all melodies are gone. Hope believes when evidence is eliminated. Hope listens for answers when no one is talking. Hope climbs over obstacles when no one is helping. Hope endures hardship when no one is caring. Hope smiles confidently when no one is laughing. Hope reaches for answers when no one is asking. Hope presses toward victory when no one is encouraging. Hope dares to give when no one is sharing. Hope brings the victory when no one is winning. Guys, hope is powerful, and we are living in hope in Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so the Apostle Paul talks about that. And then he turns his attention and he starts talking about how there's groaning in this fallen world. It talks about the creation groaning. It talks about us as believers, as Christians, we groan. And it can even be said that the Holy Spirit groans. And all this groaning is an expression of frustration with sin and a hope for renewal and redemption. And in the context of all such groaning, Paul speaks firmly about our hope of redemption that will bring glory. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. We are living in a moment where the groaning has gotten louder and louder and louder. I don't know if you're hearing it. I'm hearing it. As a Christian, it's just getting louder and louder because creation is groaning out for its Savior. As believers, we're saying, come, Lord Jesus, even now come. And so we're experiencing that right now. I love this story that I came across when I was preparing this. It says a father talking about the Holy Spirit groaning, and then when we groan, the Holy Spirit can pray through us. Because sometimes we don't know what to pray. You know, I'll be honest with you. I've found those moments, you know, praying for our nation, praying for our president, praying for, you know, all the division, the riots and the protests, and you're just like, God, when are we going to turn on the news and see some good news? You know, instead of what all's going on. And you just get, sometimes you're just like, golly, why even pray? You know, or what do we pray? And so I love this little story. It says, a father was walking past his five-year-old's daughter's room one night, proudly noticed she was on her knees in prayer. So the dad stopped and he was listening in and he heard this curious prayer. And she was saying, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. And she repeated this several times when she was knelt there by her bed in prayer. And when she was finished, he asked her what it meant. She said, and this is what she told her daddy. She said, God is really smart, she said. When I don't know what to pray about, I just say the alphabet and he figures it out for me. And I thought that was so good. So maybe we need to just start praying the alphabet. Amen? All right. Number four is we are more than conquerors in Christ. And this is verses 28 through 39. And this is where this final section of this great chapter, the great eight, represents the peak and climax of it all. And from the grand promise of 28 through the golden chain of verses 29 through 30, it starts talking about he finally arrives at this bold confidence in verse 38, and he takes the word for conquerors, I want you to listen to this, and he moves it up a notch with a prefix that shows he's trying to call us hyper-conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Christ. And so that's the confidence and that's the hope that he wants us to have, that you're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves you. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Whenever you're studying Romans chapter 8, I just gave you a little tidbit today. But I want you to go home and read Romans 8 some more. I hope you got a scripture by the time we got through this, Romans 8. I want you to write that down. I want you to study it. But what I love about Romans chapter 8 is Romans chapter 8 starts with no condemnation and ends with no separation from God's love. There's no condemnation in God. There's no separation from His love. Amen. God is good. And all the time. Now let me tell you about post-it notes before we, this is why I handed out post-it notes today. I can see some of you writing down your scripture right now. But post-it notes, you're going to learn something. And I always pick on Luke because I know Luke will remember this for the rest of his life. And so he may win some game show someday with this. post-it notes, success from failure was actually a success from failure. Everyone knows what post-it notes are. They're those great little self-stick notepapers. Most people have post-it notes. Most people use them. Most people love them. But post-it notes were not a planned product. No one got the idea and then stayed up nights to invent it. A man named Spencer Silver was working in the 3M research laboratories in 1970 trying to find a strong adhesive. And Silver developed a new adhesive, but it was even weaker than what 3M had already manufactured. It stuck to objects, but could easily be lifted off. It was super weak instead of super strong. No one knew what to do with the stuff, but Silver, he was wise about this, he didn't discard it. Then one Sunday, 4 years later, another 3M scientist named Arthur Fry was singing in the church's choir. He used paper markers to keep his place in the hymnal, but they kept falling out of the book. And remembering Silver's adhesive, Fry used some of it to code his markers, success. So with the weak adhesive, the markers stayed in place, yet lifted off without damaging the pages. 3M began distributing post-it notes nationwide in 1980, 10 years after Silver developed the super weak adhesive. Today, they are one of our most popular office products available. God is an expert at making failure into successes. Amen. Isn't that cool? So that's why I passed out. To let you know that we are weak, but we're strong in Him. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Okay? And so take that post-it note, write down your scripture, and get that in your heart, get that in your spirit this week, okay? Romans chapter 8 is great. All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I do this every Sunday. I make sure, just like what happened with Wyatt here a few Sundays ago, make sure that everybody knows Jesus as our Lord and Savior before we leave here today. And it's very simple. The Bible says that in Romans chapter 10, just a few chapters over from what we're reading today, the Apostle Paul says all we have to do is confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. And it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer of calling upon the Lord. It's a prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And if that's the first time you've prayed that prayer and meant it in your heart next Sunday, and that doesn't matter how old you are, you can be 9 or you can be 90, we can baptize you next Sunday, okay? Or we can baptize you now if you want to before you go home today. We got the baptistry is filled up. But I want everybody to stand up. And I want to speak a blessing over you today. This is out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And I believe in the power of blessing. So if you're standing there with a family member, I want you to join hands with them. Or a friend, join hands with them, and I'm going to speak this blessing over you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you His peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God Himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, you're blessed. Amen.
my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. And my story isn't over, my story's just begun. And failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my father does. Yeah, failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my father does. Ooh.